Wow, what a joy to welcome you to worship and celebrate a God who has paid it all for us. I'm John Byers, and it's a joy to welcome you to Conyers First, and I want to say a word of welcome to those who are listening by the podcast today. You know, the Bible is all about liberation. The Bible is all about God's promise to set His people free. Whether it be God's people trapped under the tyranny of that old pagan Pharaoh in Egypt and setting them free through the Red Sea, whether it be setting the people free that are lost in darkness and sending the light of the Savior to set them free, the Bible is all about God's great plan to bring liberation to those who are trapped. In this series, in the month of October, we are looking together at God's Word and standing on His promise, pardon me, to bring liberation to those of us who are caught in a financial trap. I am so pleased that we are studying together this excellent series entitled Enough, Discovering Joy Through Simplicity and Generosity by Dr. Adam Hamilton. An excellent little study book available this morning following worship, and a discussion group that will meet at 11 o'clock in the Sunday school wing upstairs. An opportunity not only for you to examine these principles at a deeper level, but to connect with others in the life of our church in a meaningful way. To set the stage for our conversation this morning, I invite you to open your Bibles with me to the Old Testament wisdom of King Solomon. And this morning, if you would look with me in Proverbs chapter 21, and let's look together at verses 5 and 6. And I'm reading today from the New Living Translation. King Solomon wrote, good planning. Note those two words. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Wealth created by lying is a vanishing mist and a deadly trap. Now, I'm interested in this verse. Notice the sequence of words. Solomon doesn't begin with hard work. Notice that? You see, oftentimes the issues in our financial lives are not working harder, but planning smarter. So King Solomon very wisely, I guess that's why he's wise King Solomon, right? Says good planning really plays a part in God's plan for financial security in our lives. I'd like for you to look within your worship folder and find a copy of the outline this morning. And I prepare outlines every week with the hope that you would jot down ideas that the Lord reveals to you, and that you would take these home and study what we've talked about today and internalize the promise of God's Word. I want to ask a big question this morning. For most of us in this church, not exclusively, but for most of us in this church, we are living at least at an average level, if not above average level, based on national statistics. As a whole, we are truly a blessed congregation. Now, there are some folks in our church who are really struggling. We've had one or two people lose their jobs in this financial recession, really a very small number. We have some folks in our church who are really struggling every day to get by, and that's why I so appreciate the mission and giving heart of this congregation. Thank you, Lord, for men and women who really care. But if we're going to be honest before God, most of us, a huge majority of us in this congregation, must honestly confess, I'm blessed. Can somebody say amen? Amen? I am blessed. Can you say that about your life? Then say it with me. I am blessed. Thank you, Lord. But even among a blessed population, people are struggling financially. Why is that? Is it that we're not working hard enough? Is it that we're not making enough money? Or could it be that we have not been as diligent as we could be in planning God's way. Now, I'm sure that in our three services across this month, there are going to be people who are truly saying, I am at a place of financial peace and financial freedom. And if you are one of that small slice of our congregation, then I hope you'll spend every minute of every service saying, thank you, Lord, that I have been rescued. And I hope every other minute in this service you will be praying for the large number of people in this church, good people, Bible-believing, born-again people, who are just really struggling with their finances. In this series, we're drawing on biblical, timeless wisdom for godly planning. And see, what we learn is that when we plan, when we use godly planning and then work that plan, God takes what we have and stretches it, I can't explain it, and multiplies it, I can't explain it, and gives us the capacity to do more on less than we ever thought possible. And that's what I want us to look at today, wisdom and finance. If we're honest, there's a part of all of us that could be characterized as the prodigal son or the prodigal daughter. You know, it's one of the greatest stories Jesus ever told. Luke chapter 15. Two boys live at home with mom and dad. They're pretty well to do. But one boy just has an itch for the good life. He presents himself to his dad. Give me my inheritance and I want it now. Now, what we don't understand, but the audience Jesus addressed understood, to go to your mother or father and demand your inheritance now is to say to that mother or father, you are dead to me. I consider you to be dead. I write you off. I divorce myself from you. Give me what I'm getting and give it to me now. Well, this boy, we presume, got quite a good little chunk of change. I mean, it's an inheritance. But where does the boy find himself? Living among the pigs. And again, the audience that Jesus spoke, just to mention living among the swine, the audience that Jesus spoke to would have gone, what? Not pork. The problem with the boy was not that he didn't have the resources. What was the problem with the boy? He planned poorly. In fact, the inference in the text is he didn't plan at all. And the Bible says that he came to a place of famine in his life. Now, the redeeming quality of this boy was, to quote the King James, he came to himself, unquote. Do you know what that means? He came to a hard reality. I've got to go in another direction. And the redeeming grace of this boy was that he wanted to return to his father. Well, in this text, father is a little F. But in this series, I'm encouraging all of us to return to the promises of our Father, capital F, Father God, who does have a plan for you and for me. I think for many of us, good folks, smart folks, successful folks, we have a tendency to waste more than we think we waste. Are you aware of the waste in your own life? Now, maybe you've got it all worked out, and if so, sing hallelujah and pray for us. But for most of us, we have some wastefulness in our lives. And that's what the word prodigal means. The Greek word prodigal simply means to be loose, to waste. For instance, where do you waste in your life? Well, I think the number one place we waste in our lives is the terrible trap of impulse buying. Do you know what impulse buying is? That quick knee-jerk, really no thought, sort of appealing to the baser instincts. Simple things like going to the grocery store while you're hungry. You know, I'm told that's a terrible thing to do. And so to prove that, you know, I've been leading a Walk to Emmaus retreat for the last 3 days. I haven't slept any for two nights. I'm just, you know, I might preach myself to sleep this morning. So wake me up if I fall asleep. But I don't have any food in my house. So I'm going to do the wrong thing right after church and run to Publix. I know it's Sunday, but I'm going to go to Publix on a hungry stomach and buy food. Now, that's a really dangerous thing to do. There are certain aisles that I'm going to have to be really careful to avoid. Impulse buying, trying to fill, follow me here, trying to fill the emptiness of life. Follow me here. I'm not just talking about an empty stomach. Are you following me? Trying to fill the emptiness of life by buying something, thinking that it will satisfy. Or speaking of shopping, seems to be a big problem. Shop for what, only for what you need and make a list. Get in and then get out while you can. How about this one? Wait 24 hours before purchasing an impulse buy. And this is where I think the internet has really hurt us, because it's just too easy in your pajamas to log on and buy something, charge it up, and it's done. I mean, you don't even have to get in the car and go to the store to buy into this impulse buying. But I've noticed a second place that we really waste money is eating out. Now, there's nothing wrong with eating out. It's a fun thing to do, but it's the frequency with which we eat out. The average American family eats out at least 4 times a week. Now, I want to challenge you to do something. Go out and eat and enjoy what you're eating, but I want you to write down everything you've eaten. Okay? And then the price you paid for it, including tip. And then when you're not hungry, so it'll really make an impact on you, then go to Publix or Kroger and shop for every single one of those items and add it up, and even add the gas that it took to get to the grocery store and back, and check out the gap. What do you think the gap between what you pay at the restaurant and the gap at the grocery store is? Maybe like this? Well, maybe if you go to Waffle House, you know it is. Or is it more like this? Or could it be, if you're really honest, you realize there is an enormous gap? Hey, is it really worth it? Is it really worth being in the bondage of financial stress? Eating out. Well, the third things I want you to notice this morning is not only where our money goes and the tendency that we have to be wasteful, but oftentimes we are careless with our money because we don't have a bigger plan. And hear me, I'm not talking about a financial plan at this point. I'm talking about a life plan. Let me ask you a huge question. What is your life's purpose? Why are you here? Have you wrestled with that question? And can you answer that question? Do you feel like you are really on a mission bigger than your own self-centered desires? Do you have a driving force for your life deeper and more powerful than your gut level need for pleasure and fulfillment? What am I talking about here? When you have a clear sense of God's call on your life and a clear sense of mission, then you're real careful to make sure that the resources you have are feeding that mission, supporting and enabling that mission, rather than your resources just, well, this pleasure, then this pleasure, this trip, this acquisition, this purchase, this bauble, this thing. In your worship folder is a little insert that I'd like you to look at. And on one side it says, My Life and Financial Goals Worksheet. I'm convinced that before we need to look at financial planning, we need to look at life planning. Now, there's some questions that I'd really, really, really like to encourage you to wrestle with this afternoon, maybe in your quiet time tomorrow morning. Ask yourself, how would I define or describe my life purpose? Could you write that in one single sentence? I don't see anybody agreeing, saying yes. Could you write that in one sentence? Secondly, what are three goals that can help me achieve this life purpose? And then the third question, what are some financial goals that can help me, that can help support my life and goals? See, when you know what your life purpose is, when you have a purpose for moving forward, then there's great power over your resources. You want to make sure that everything you have is hoping to support that great mission, rather than just wasting it here and wasting it there and buying this and getting that. What are your life goals? Do you know? I want to challenge you about that, because that plays a huge role in financial freedom. Then on the back side of the outline, I'd like to offer you today 6 key financial principles then to make it possible for you to live into your life purpose. Did you get my letter this week with this little insert? If you haven't, there's some more that'll be mailed out this week. And this little insert is called a cling. C-L-I-N-G. Of course, you're thinking Klingons from some space program. We actually talked about it in the office. What do we call this thing? It's actually called a cling. Why is it called a cling? Because if you play with it right and you get to the right corner, you can peel off the cling from the backing, but you'll notice that the cling is not sticky. And it's designed in some space age kind of way that you can take it off the backing and it will cling, thus its name, cling to your bathroom mirror. Or cling to the window over your kitchen sink. I'd like to encourage you to cling this someplace that you look at regularly, because I believe that if you will choose for the next 3 months to incorporate these 6 key financial principles into your life, that God will do what only God can do in stretching and encouraging and providing you the resources to fulfill your life's mission. I'd like just to talk with you about money for a few minutes and go through these 6 kind of one by one, and challenge you to consider living God's principles for financial security. What's the first one? Pay your tithe and offering first. The greatest decision that you and I can make, and the greatest decision that is keeping people from financial peace, is honoring God first. Well, you're going to say immediately, A, I make too much, I can't possibly give that much, or I make too little and can't spare even a dime. But here's the truth, my friends, that your accountant will never be able to prove to you. When you choose to live God's way and give 10% off the top to Him, ooh, that strikes the heart of many. When you choose as an act of faith to give 10% off the top for Him, He does and enables you to do more with the 90% left than you can possibly imagine. I can preach it, I can cajole, I can exhort, I can encourage, but you will never know until you do it. Now, I don't mean to put anybody on the spot more than I already put you on the spot, but would there be anybody here today that would be willing to say a hearty amen to the statement that God will do more with the 90% than you were ever able to do with 100%? Can anybody say amen? Thank you for those many responses. In fact, I could just stop the message right here, because that is such a seismic shift to the culture of the world. Do we trust God or do we not trust God? And if you don't trust God with His principles, then let me ask you the question. How is it working for you trusting yourself? Are you with me? How is it working with Brother John's plan of 100% belongs to me and I always come up 10% short? Right? How's it working with Sister Beth's plan? How's it working with Sister Lisa's plan? How's it working with who am I going to pick on now? Brother Rusty's plan. Would you be willing to trust God's plan and see? Do you know there's only one place in the Bible that God comes right out and says, try me. Put me to the test. Don't laugh at me more than you already laugh at me, but as though God's saying, bring it on. Come on, you know. I want to prove myself to you. It's only in this one area, Malachi chapter 3. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Try me in this and see if I will not bless you. Try me. Each of these passages, or each of these principles, has a Bible passage, and I'd like to look at several of them. If you brought your Bible this morning, turn with me quickly to 2 Corinthians, sort of toward the middle of your New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Never be embarrassed to consult the table of content. God gave us a table of content to help us more quickly find the truth of His Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Let's look there right quick. What does God's Word say? Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need. Did you notice how many times St. Paul stresses with emphasis when? All times, all things, all that you need. What does he go on to say? You will abound in every good work. Now that word work there, I don't think is an accident. I really think Paul is talking about abundance being tied to God's calling on your life. The work that God has given you to do for His glory, for His kingdom. God wants to finance His work. And He's got the cattle on 1,000 hills, right? You've got to know what your calling is, and then God delights to provide, what does the Bible say? Abundantly for your work. If your life's work is simply to eat, drink, and be merry, I'm not sure God's going to invest in that. If your life's work is get for me, now, I'm not sure God is going to invest in that. But when you're clear what God's call for your life is, to be a conduit of blessing for people who are in need through the fellowship of His church, God says, that's an investment worth making. You can count on me. You see how life's purpose and financial purpose work together? If you're in a hole financially, and so many good people in our church are, I want to encourage you to get really honest and ask God what your purpose is Because frankly, you may be caught in the tyranny of selfishness and living for me and living for now. Are you willing to put God first? But I want you quickly to notice the second principle. Create a budget and track your expenses. For too many good people in this church, your money is telling you what to do. And that is a losing position to be in. The position of real power and freedom is for you to tell your money what to do. I want to ask you a very simple question. Have you ever really prepared a budget? What do I mean by that? Do you know where your money is going? On the other side of the insert is really a very simple basic budget worksheet. This is drawn from Dave Ramsey's excellent book, Total Money Makeover. And he gives these categories here for most people's lives and the appropriate percentages that we ought to be, how we ought to be organizing our giving. Now, have you ever watched Dave Ramsey on Fox News Network, his program? It's a great show, and it is no fun to watch. Dave Ramsey calls it like it is, and he doesn't mind telling you, that's dumb. Dumb. And according to Dave Ramsey, do you know what the dumbest thing people do is? Abuse their credit cards. Did you read in Dr. Adam Hamilton's book that all of us need a little plastic surgery? I don't mean a nip and the tuck under the eyes or under the chin. I mean this kind of plastic surgery. All of us need it. Do you have a budget? Do you know where your money goes? Does it tell you what to do, or are you telling it what to do? Would you take a second just to look at this video clip from someone who runs a credit union?
We found over the past few years that many people were living beyond their means and didn't really grasp what was happening. They're juggling payments, maybe paying bills with one credit card to save cash to pay down another card, maybe making only minimum payments on any of their credit cards. Their total personal debt was rising, compounded by some pretty significant interest rates. So how do you get out of this? The first thing you have to do is track your spending. Where is the money going every week? Most of us don't know how much we're spending at the grocery store or even in a restaurant every month. Take a good look at this picture. Then you must set some financial goals. That is the foundation of every budget and every financial plan. What do you want to achieve and by when? The next is to pay off your debt. It's the best way to simplify your life. Use your credit wisely. If you want something, save up to get it. And then the absolute number one thing that everybody needs to do is create a savings account. Take it directly out of your paycheck. Don't see it. Have it go to an account. I know you know these things, just like you know you need to exercise and eat right. The challenge is making a plan and sticking with it.
Somebody say amen to that. Look with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 27 in the Old Testament. Again, the wisdom of King Solomon. Proverbs chapter 27, verses 23 and 24. Solomon says, be sure you know the condition of your flocks and give careful attention to your herds. For riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations. Now, I don't think many of us in our congregation have goats and horses and sheep and flocks in the backyard, but you understand the emphasis of Solomon here, don't you? Take account of what you've got before you ask for more. You following me? Before you ask for more, take account of what you've got and be clear about where it's going. And if you're not already in a budgeting process, I would encourage you to sit down quietly one afternoon and get your bank statement, or if you do it online, which is even easier, print it out for 3 months. Go to your favorite credit card online, and if you do credit cards online the way I do, you can sort your stuff, and it'll go ahead and categorize it for you. It'll show what you're spending for gas, and what you're spending on food, and what you're spending on junk. And then add those up for 3 months as a percentage of your entire spending, then figure out some percentages. And if you don't do percentages very well, you weren't a math major, there are programs on the computer that will do percentages for you. And see where you are along this way. See if you can't gain financial strength and stability by telling your money where to go, instead of your money telling you where it will go. Well, these other principles: simplify your lifestyle, live below your means. I tell you, I had more emails last week from people saying they had never thought about that. They'd always been taught to live within their means, but these folks had never considered the power that comes when you choose to live beneath your means. Why is that powerful? Because that means you always have something to give. Number four, establish an emergency fund. Dave Ramsey and others suggest working that to 3 months' income. Well, that's a huge sum for most of us, but start with $1,000. Have an emergency fund so you don't have to use the plastic to get out of trouble. Pay off your credit cards and use a debit card for purchases. And when you do use your credit card, use it wisely. I know when we travel, we've got to check into a hotel. We've got to use it for Delta.com. We've got to be able to have it to pay our copay at the doctor's office, all of that. But use it wisely. Then practice long-term savings and investment habits. I think the wisdom of Solomon here is exactly right. He doesn't say hard work alone leads to prosperity. Most of the people in our church are very productive, industrious people. Right? You're spending a lot of time at school, aren't you, Samantha? Don, you're working hard, right? Tanil, are you working hard? Well, say yes. You better be working hard. You work. It's not that we need to work harder. Could it be we need to work and plan smarter? I'd encourage you to take all of this material and throughout this series of messages, see what God will do if you choose to live it His way. Would you take just a moment to find your connection card? Because I'd really like for you to be able to respond in a concrete way today. And the first response is to internalize God's Word. And I want to start trying something for the next few weeks to see if it'll work. Before you leave worship for the next few weeks, I want you to carry already in your mind a scripture that you've memorized. So our text for the morning is here on the screen, and I want us to focus on Proverbs 21:5, and I want to say it together three times. Would you join me in saying it? Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Let's do it again. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. One more time. Good work, planning, and hard work leads to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. All right, Dr. Golden, would you take that down off the screen? Now let's say it together. Okay, let's work. Oh, some of you are getting ahead of me. Let's work together and say it. Good planning and hard work leads to prosperity, but what? Shortcuts, hasty shortcuts, lead to poverty. Hey, you just memorized a verse of Scripture. Would you be willing to say, I'm gonna meditate on that this week? Then the prayer for this series. Lord, help me to be grateful for what I have, to remember that I don't need most of what I want, and that joy is found in simplicity and generosity. There are other opportunities for you to respond, to learn about being a follower of Jesus Christ, I'd love to talk with you about being baptized and professing your faith in the risen Lord and becoming a part of this great church. I would be honored to be your pastor. Maybe you have a special need in your life. I want you to know that I pray for this congregation on Tuesdays. I take these needs and I kneel before the cross and I intercede for you. Maybe you've got a real financial struggle that you'd trust me to pray about this week on Tuesday. As the music plays, would you take just a moment and complete your connection card? And then, because it's nobody's business, just fold it over. And at the same time, I invite you to prepare your morning offering, your tangible token of thanksgiving to God for His goodness and provision in your life. And then, as the offering baskets come forward, would you drop in your connection card and drop in your offering? And at this point in our financial year, every gift really matters, really, really matters. I invite you to drop them both in the basket. Now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you, His healing and approving smile, and best yet, give you peace, perfect financial peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen and good morning.